As my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, thank God we beat the Steelers, didn't we?
You know what? That was quite a game. Going into that game, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but I kind of want to pat ourselves on the back because I feel as if we had a great show, a great discussion last week. But with everything that was circling around this team that was happening last week in the news, off the field, on the field, all that stuff, I feel as if Baltimore was really down. Like, I don't know about you, but going into that Steelers game, I felt as if a lot of people around here were like, they didn't know if they could actually cheer the Ravens. They didn't know how to really react to that game. But the way the Ravens came out up against the Steelers, the way I feel as if the city really needed that win, especially against the Steelers, because after we saw how dominant the Ravens were and we saw just the win and what was going on, I feel as if the city needed that. And it was kind of like a sigh of relief because everybody could enjoy football again.
Absolutely, man. It especially with the whirlwind of what's going on that in the last few weeks, and like I told you before in review of our show, what I say, I said that what's going to happen is the team puts together a string of wins, and winning is the only thing that this it's going to make us forget about it. Yet we're not trying to forget about it because obviously it's still there on the fourth right of our minds. But it is a nice break. It's a nice break when not only the team plays well, but you beat the arch rival in the division. And beat them soundly. I predicted a 17-14 game, and I'm glad it wasn't even close. I mean, the way the game started, obviously we weren't too happy about that, and we'll address that in a few moments. But what the Ravens did is they played sound team football. They didn't turn the ball over. They were efficient. I was totally overall proud of how we responded, and just like everybody echoed, this is how you respond. It was about how this team can respond coming off the Ray Rice incident, coming off of all the firestorm of the week and being a short week, and how they're going to do. Are they going to go 0-2 in the division and league, and everybody going to – are this team going to crumble? And they rose up. And they rose up in a big way, and I'm telling you what, from get-go, the energy was in the air. The tailgate lot was packed. And the special, especially on September 11th, we'll never forget. And in the hoopla of the 200th year anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner, it was great. With the fireworks and the O and the Star Spangled Banner, it was kicked off right. And Brandon, I heard on TV, I think they did show it, but how about Terrell Suggs coming out in the gladiator mask? I thought that was the most unprecedented, awesome thing ever.
I was at home. I didn't see that, so they definitely did not show that on TV.
Oh, man.
I saw the picture the next day, and I thought somebody photoshopped it. Like, right. He was going off to war, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then I realized, I saw those other pictures, that he actually wore that on the field. That was so cool.
Yes, and just like a few of my friends said, like, the stadium just the sound elevated when he came out, and what we saw was happening, the whole place went raucous, and it was on. And it was back to football, and it kind of led me to it, and it's a great segue because you know how football, the gladiator sport, it's hard hitting, it's bloodthirsty, it's men hitting men. It is what it is. And you think about that gladiator sport, the gladiator mentality, putting on the shoulder and pads, getting your equipment on right, and going out and doing battle. And then it couldn't have started for any better. The Ravens starting on defense, the place was rocking. They went third and long, and they were backed up deep in their territory. Courtney Upshaw comes around and rocks Big Ben, just like what happened with Bart Scott that one year. And lo and behold, there was a penalty on the play. Of course. Showing the replays in the stadium, the whole crowd was going crazy. It kind of fired me up. I thought I popped a blood vessel because I was yelling so much because I was going crazy, brother. And but the Ravens took care of business. The Steelers were driving, and Ravens took care of the turnover, and cause a fumble, and then they did what good football teams do. They took a turnover, went right down the field, and scored seven. They responded well. It wasn't like they went three and out, sat on the ball, and played a little sissy football. No, the Ravens are like, okay, we turn the ball over, now it's our turn, and they went right down, and they shoved it down their throats, and that's how you do it, man. That's how you play football. Ravens didn't turn the ball over. This defense was swarming, man. What I told you before, that what they didn't do against Cincinnati, they did well against the Steelers. They did not turn the ball over. They created turnovers, and they created pressure. Elvis Dumavero got a couple of sacks in the backfield, was great. I mean, you've seen Courtney Upshaw technically had a sack. They were putting pressure on them all night, and they couldn't really get any big plays off. And when they did, we stopped them out with a turnover or a three and out or a missed opportunity with a fourth down. Just wanted to go over in our review, how efficient were the Ravens? Well, Joe Flacco, our fearless leader on offense, man, 72.4, I should say, completion percentage, 166 yards, two touchdowns with a rating of 109.3. He went 21 for 29. I have to say, my friend, again, going back to Sunday when I was making fun of that fan for chanting Tyrod Taylor, I don't think they're Tyrod Taylor like numbers. Do you think? I don't think so, dude.
No,
not at all. And, you know, he led us to victory, and this defense was swarming. I do have some concerns, and I wanted to reiterate that, you know, 26-6 is very impressive. It wasn't for a fluke, I wouldn't say fluke play, but a bobble pass going to the Bengals' way with an A.J. Green touchdown. The Ravens have only allowed one touchdown in the first two games, which is great, seeing how much scoring is going on in the league right now in the first 2 weeks. You know, we're boasting a top defense right now, one touchdown, two games for two formidable offenses, and not only that, but divisional opponents. I think that's something to stay highly of. And like I told you against the Bengals, you know, they bent and didn't break. They allowed five field goals. If any one of those was a touchdown, the game would have been easily put away by Cincinnati, and we were in that ball game. And then what the Ravens did is they turned to turnovers, and then they turned those turnovers into points and made them pay. And one thing I was concerned about was the third and long plays. Again, we let the tight end down the middle. I think the middle of the field on the pass coverage is a little shaky. And how about our guys on the goal line, man? We had on the goal line twice and came away with points. And I just think they ran the ball efficiently, but then once they got down there, they got in our own heads, and Kubiak was trying to be overly creative, yet the touchdown to Owen Daniels was perfect. They called a run to the right, and then Joe Bootleg to the left, and Owen Daniels wide open. I think that was a great counter from what they were going to look for. But I think once they got it later in the game, especially when the turnovers happened, they got in their own heads. I mean, I was a little concerned there. It could have been a 35 or even 40-6 win. Said it was only 26-6. And I mean, yeah, you beat them soundly. It doesn't matter if you beat them by a point. You know, the old saying on Fast Fierce, man, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or mile. Winning is winning, and it's right. If we win by 1 point, or if we, you know, same thing with losing. We could lose by 1 point, lose by 20. It's still a loss, and it's still a win, as long as you have more points than them. And I think that going forward, they got to capitalize, because what if you – one of those scores, 4 points is 4 points, and on sitting there on the table, first of all, the one, they got to get it in, guys, got to punch it in.
Yeah, this was a very eye-opening game of what the Ravens really could be this season. I mean, this was I talked about it on What the Puck last season. Every single game with the Capitals, it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You never really knew who you were going to get, and this is the team that I want to see for the rest of the year. This is the team that was playing, you know, smash mouth football. It was in your face. I mean, you've been to games with me last season, and you know that I'm pretty quiet guy when I'm watching. You're jumping around and you're screaming, but I'm kind of sitting there and I'm being like very intent on what's going on the field. I don't know why that's the way I watch football, but it just is. When I saw that Courtney Upshaw hit, though, I mean, I jumped out of my chair and was screaming, because I'm like, that was a huge hit. I mean, that was like a Goldberg gore. It was amazing. But then he gets that penalty, which with the new rules, then yes, that's illegal, but man, it just takes so much fun out of football, because that just looked like such a crazy hit. I mean, just an amazing hit. Ben Roethlisberger today said that he still doesn't feel well, that he still is hurting just as much as he hurt last Thursday. So you know that hit definitely affected his game, but man, what a hit. I mean, he came out of nowhere, Upshaw did. So I was amazed by that hit. It was great. And then the Steelers have the same thing happen later on in in the game. They get two back-to-back penalties for illegal hits. So the game is definitely changing. Some of these older guys, and Upshaw's a pretty young guy too, but all of them have to kind of adapt to this new way that's that you have to play football, which it might come down to it in 5 years. We might have guys wearing flags on their hips and just being, you know, having flag football from now on, because it looks like the game is changing so much. So I don't know about you, but I kind of miss the big tackles.
Right, man. Yeah, I mean, you can always say you're going to miss it. I mean, obviously it comes to the point where you guys remember these are human beings and not machines going, you know, clash to clash. But yeah, that's what football is all about. It's, you know, separating men from the ball. That's what Ray Lewis always referred to back in his heyday. It's my job is to separate them from the ball. Receiver's got it, I'm going to hit him and make sure he loses that ball. You know, like with regards, that's what defenders are. You know, what a receiver's job is to hold onto the football and score at will. And with these, the way the game's changing, I posed a question. I'm going to pose this on the call today. Do we have to rewrite the rule books for high school, college football to where they're trained to hit a certain way? Because I guarantee you in college, and I've seen it in some college games this weekend, they're hitting the proper way, and I've seen more vicious hits than the one Upshaw inflicted on Big Ben, and they weren't flagged for it. I've seen worse hits, and believe it or not, that's what I'm saying is, do you have to train these guys going back to high school and college to go, okay, well, if you're going to go pro, the NFL does it this way. And speaking of that, Joe Flacco, when he did his quarterback sneak, was cracked in the helmet, no penalty there, and it's just like, and I'm jabbing at the rest. I mean, every hit was like, okay, that's not a foul, and that's not a foul, and I'm watching the Sunday night game. Okay, the quarterback gets hit. That's not a foul. Okay. There's a late hit on Jay Cutler in the Sunday night game. That's not a late hit. And, you know, that's just what I'm saying. It's be consistent. If Upshaw's is a penalty, then every other tackle should be a penalty. You know, or put it this way. Let's say if once you get to the quarterback, the play's whistled then. Instead of tackling him, it's almost like you have a clear path to the quarterback. Let's just say he's down by contact, because it's getting ridiculous. I mean, yes, the quarterback is the most expensive position the team is paying for, as you see with the elite quarterbacks and Joe's quarter, you know, contract, and Andy Dalton's contract, and Aaron Rodgers' contract, and Drew Brees' contract per se. It's these guys are getting paid big money, but again, you know, you sign up for it. This is the risk you have. You're standing upright trying to throw the football. Someone will be coming at you with high speed and might hit you hard. That's the nature of the game. I just don't understand it, man. I feel for these guys. I mean, glad I'm not playing football, because I'd probably be more vocal and outspoken than most. It's just, again, man, it does ruin it. And here's the problem I have, not only with the penalty, but – and again, you know, I'm not harping on that, because, again, it could have cost us the game, but here's the problem I have with these calls. They're never on first down. They're never on when we're blowing them out and, that penalty, I don't care, and we'll just do it. But it's always at a crucial part of the game. It's always on a third down when it causes them to get a first down. It's always a drive extender every freaking time, man. And I'm getting sick of it. Every time these penalties are ill-timed. You can't not time a hit. Okay, well, we're not going to hit them on third down because we might get a penalty, Brandon. But I'm just passionate, because every time I see these penalties, it's always, oh, it puts them first and goal because it's a bogus pass interference call, or it's a bogus. It is what it is, man. But in respect, going back to the Pittsburgh, because I watched both hits. Upshaw's hit was right in the gut. It was a legal hit. Even some former refs in the league were quoted saying that was a bad call. They got that right. But the Steelers, those were hits above the head. I mean, I think Polamalu had a forearm to the helmet. Those I can kind of see are borderline because they're blows to the head. Upshaw wasn't – nowhere was his equipment. He just pushed his helmet right into the center of his chest, and rightfully so. My whole problem is Jay Cutler got hit right between the numbers by a Niner defender on Sunday night, right square in the six, and he got leaned back. No penalty. I don't think there was, and if there was, I would apologize. Apologize for that. I just can't remember, as I'm so passionate right now about it. But again, reiterating, these quarterbacks are getting hit. I'm sick and tired of it. It's football. I mean, really.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. Do you
have equipment on for a reason?
Yeah. Do you think that it was because of what was going on last week that they were so particular about, like, blows to the head and that kind of stuff? Because Thursday Night Football was supposed to open up with Rihanna singing the theme for that night, but they decided not to go with her due to what was going on around the league at the time. Do you think that the refs were told to be extra careful? this time around?
I mean, you can always magnify everything when it happens around the league. I don't think so. I think that's really looking into a deeper and blowing outrageous, but it's a good angle on that. But I think with any game, they're going to be extra careful. They'll told whether it's opening night on Thursday, whether it's Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Sunday night. No, these guys are going to be calling these calls regardless, but it just so happens that it's always on us. They always say that Raven fans are whiny because the refs are always out to get them, but take a look at the evidence. Every time, man, and it's just getting sick of it because you don't see it in any other games. And I watch plenty of other games. I don't just watch Ravens games. I watch football games and then know enough. And here's the problem I have too. And this is a good point here. Pro athletes in the NFL are paid money to put their bodies on the line for entertainment's sake. A defender's job is to separate the offensive guy from the ball within a safe hit or within the means of that, you know, not to go out there and kill the guy. But here's the problem I have. You have college football kids who are earning a college education. Yeah, some of them might go pro. A handful of them might go pro, but others are going to have a career. My problem is these guys are getting hit worse, and they're putting their careers on the line, their lives on the line for college football sake. They might not even play in the NFL, let alone they might be future doctors, lawyers, whatever, and they're getting hit worse, yet the college football is not flagging that. That's what I have a problem of. You have they're penalizing pros for doing their job, but they're letting kids who are getting hit going, and they're not even getting paid. That is a good point, and for some reason, that just don't sit right with me.
No, absolutely, and you've got every right to bring that up. So let's go back to the Ravens game. Let's not go all the way out with the NFL, but let me ask you this about the Ravens. This team, the 2014-2015 Ravens, and the season we've had so far. This is a question that everybody on the radio, every other podcast you might listen to, everybody just on Facebook and Twitter has been asking. So I'm asking you straight up, with the two games that we've seen, the Ravens looked absolutely terrible against the Bengals. They look like they were absolutely amazing, could win the Super Bowl up against the Steelers. Is that due to the fact that the Bengals are just a better team than the Ravens, or does it just mean that the Steelers are just a terrible team this year?
Right now, I would say the Steelers are a terrible team, and here's why. After seeing what Cincinnati did, Cincinnati held a Matt Ryan offense to only 10 points total on Sunday, let alone Matt Ryan was the highest rated passer after week one, and he threw for almost about 500 yards and 3 touchdowns against the New Orleans Saints. He won that game. Matt Ryan is no slouch, and when you hold Matt Ryan's offense to just 10 points total, that's saying something. Granted, it was on the road, it was in Cincinnati, but given the fact that, yeah, we almost came back on Cincinnati, it's really hard to say because we play them hard at a divisional game. And I backed an answer up with, this is what I said all along leading up to the game, if you recall. The Steelers blew a 24-3 lead at halftime against the Browns. The Browns since then came all the way back, tied the game at 24, and then lost by a last-second field goal. I did watch the Browns game because we actually had the opportunity on Sunday to watch all day on football because there's no Ravens game. I did watch that Browns Browns-Saints game. The Browns did beat the New Orleans Saints, which is very impressive. The Browns ain't no slouch either, so I wouldn't say we're in trouble on Sunday, but we got to get up for this game, man, because they could easily win it. And the Browns held them. So this is why I say that. You know, the Steelers, I could say, are in trouble because they're old, they're slow. Big Ben's weapons are pretty much gone. Big Ben got rocked. Big Ben's going to take a little bit more abuse back there if his line don't hold up. And the Ravens have to play to their best of their ability. Like Harbaugh said this week, we have to play the best we can on every play we can because you got to bring it. Yeah, granted, they're not going to be undefeated the rest of the year and go to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. No, they're going to lose some football games, but take the losses in stride. As long as they play well, I'm okay with the losing because maybe the team will play us better, or they might have a play there too, or they might put some pressure on Joe Flacco when the game counts and they might force a pick. That's football. But when the Ravens just come out flat on Sunday and they couldn't do anything right, the receivers were misrunning routes and the offense looked anemic and the defense could not cover anybody. It was just, they were just marching up down the field. Granted, again, the defense bent, but didn't break because they allowed 5 field goals in the first half, kept the Ravens in the game, thank God. But again, that's why, you know, I'm saying that Steelers could be on the decline and the Bengals could be for real. The Bengals are the division leaders right now, 2-0, or game behind, tied at 1-1 respectively. But again, we'll see them again, and hopefully we'll be a better football team. I believe we will. But it starts now with Cleveland, man. I mean, Cleveland isn't any slouch. That defense is a little feisty. The offense is capable of scoring points, as we've seen. I mean, they scored 26 points and then 24 points in the last 2 weeks. So they're scoring in the mid-20s. And Brian Hoyer's got this team flying high on his shoulders. Got the backup Johnny Manziel waiting in the wings, but right now it's Brian Hoyer's offense. And that's why, I guess, right now, leading up to breaking down the Cleveland game, you know, I'm not really worried about Pittsburgh. I'm worried about Cincinnati because they're a good football team. And the Ravens, you're right, they're like the Jekyll Hyde. They could play bad and they could play good. It's just really hard to play pick-em football with the Ravens, man, because, you know, I love them to death. Always will, but just, you never know, because, right, if they just play like that every week, you're like, they could beat anybody in the league. I'm not scared, but then they can even beat the Broncos. But then they play like they did against Bengals on Sunday, and oh my God, we might not even win 4 games all year. You just never know. This is why I say the NFL is a 1-week season. You play one game on Sunday, let's see what you're at after that. Not, okay, well, we, you know, and I always look at this, man. You know, I'm a golfer on the side, you know, I'm no Tiger Woods, but I do play golf leisurely, and I've always told this, you know how golf is shot after shot until you get to the hole and put the ball in the hole, right? I've always just told that golf, the game of golf, instead of looking at the whole hole, like if you look at a hole and you're like, okay, it's a par 5, 4, 3, and you go, okay, well, if I score this, then my score is going to be this. No, you look at shot to shot. If you connect shots, you're going to score good. So the Ravens are like that. You take it one game at a time, one play at a time. Okay, if we connect on this first down drive, then we'll get another first down. Then we'll get in field goal range. Then we'll get in the red zone. Okay, the defense, if they can make a couple stops, you take it one series at a time, one quarter at a time, and you just keep digging. But if you look at the season as a whole, you might look at your opponents down the road and go, okay, well, we might lose that game. It's all fun talk, but what the Ravens got to do, they just got to take care of business, and we'll see Cincinnati again.
Yeah, we'll see him. We'll see him down the line. So let's jump right into it. You've already kind of talked in a little bit with the Browns here. Like you said, you got Johnny Football, who we might not see this week. But with this team being, I think at least in the division, the Browns are the most like the Ravens at this point, because they can have a bad game and then they can come back the next week and really kind of prove themselves. You know, they've got a guy that we're kind of familiar with Paul Kruger on the defense. So we'll be seeing him again. But I think this game is really going to be the game to show you what this team is going to be like for the rest of the season, because we've seen them at their worst. We've seen them at their best. This is going to be a good middle ground to see if they can take that momentum they had from the Steelers game, take those 10 days off or so, and really concentrate on this game. I think that this game is going to be really the best showing of the Ravens this season, to see just how far they really could go.
Absolutely, man. I think it's going to – there is an article on Ravens.com that just said that we're going to know a lot about this football team after this week, and we will, because as it stands, it is a divisional game, and let's say worst-case scenario, the Browns winning, the division is going to look like the Browns 2-1 with 2-1 in respects, and the Ravens are going to be 1-2 with all those games coming in the division. So it's going to be a little bit whole and to get out of it quick early, because we don't see our divisional opponents till later in the year. So it's a good tone setter, being that they come back home after that and go right back on down the road. So you got to take care of business. Cleveland, you can get up to play. They got some young talent. Joe Hayden can cover. They got this receiver Hawkins. They got Miles Austin, who's a veteran. And what I'm seeing out of Terrence West out of Towson, man, he's a tough runner, man. We already know about him being a homegrown guy and came out of one of our local products and schools. And he's a tough runner, man. And Brian Hoyer can make plays. He's extended some plays, what I've seen. And the defense is young and fresh. I mean, like I said, they held Drew Brees in the first half for a while. And then what happened was, is I've noticed this. Now, we don't have a Jimmy Graham on this team, but Jimmy Graham gave him fits. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees just found something that worked. And they were throwing jump balls, and they were creating mismatches where the Saints had like goal to go on like the 3. And Drew Brees would take 2 steps, throw a fade in the corner, and jump ball to Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham just go up and snag it. There was mismatches. So if we can create some mismatches yet with some Owen Daniels down there with a Dennis Pitta, if we can get these guys 1-on-1, they're exposed. And granted that the Steelers did score 24 points on the first half before they had to kick a last second field goal. And then, like I said, so, and then the Saints and the, but the Saints and the Browns game was kind of back and forth. It wasn't like there was a lead and then there wasn't. It was kind of like, okay, they're at a one score game and then the Saints come back and tie it. And then they would took a lead. It was one of those classic bouts, man. And I was impressed and I was scouting that game and what I saw, it's a feisty defense. This team's going to come out swinging, man. And I think that it's really hard to pick this matchup, man, because both teams are riding high. You know, the Browns almost beat the Steelers. They could have been 2-0 in the division. They took it to the woodshed against the Saints, who we see later this year on Monday night. So they kind of gave a blueprint for how to beat the Saints. And but the Saints are a different team at home. That's another story. But again, man, it's one of these things where you can pick the Ravens, you could pick the Browns, you know, either way. You know, I don't know, man. This is one of those tough games. But I don't know who I'm going to pick at this point, man. It's. I mean, what do you think, man? I think the Ravens can overcome and carry that momentum. Plus, they've had 10 days off. The Browns are at home. They stay at home. So it's kind of one of these either way. You can pick the Browns and get good, or you can pick the Ravens, get good on that pick as well. My keys to victory, I think, are to contain the run game, you know, keep them at bay with the run game because Terrence West is going to give us fits. I can see that happening. Get them off the field on third down, not turn the ball over, and I obviously take care of the football in our own right. You know how it is. You win the time of possession. You win the turnover battle. You win the statistical category. And most likely you win the football game on the scoreboard. That's the only stat that matters. But I think that Joe Flacco needs to utilize his weapons, and he's been doing that. Steve Smith has been great fighting him in the flats. Torrey Smith has been relatively quiet. I like to see him get involved in the game a little bit, but I'm the kind of guy that, hey, you know, I'm not about, you know, getting these guys time and stats. It's the best player at the time, and if Owen Daniels needs to catch 3 touchdowns this weekend, so be it. If Steve Smith needs to have 150 yards and a touchdown, so be it. If Bernard Pierce and Justin Forsett need to go 1-2 punch, and that's the focal point I'm going to watch there too, is how efficient is the running game? Because the running, they ran well enough on Pittsburgh to set up the pass, and it was working very efficiently, my friend.
Yeah, the offense definitely looked good up against the Steelers. Like you said, Owen Daniels, who I really didn't know too much about him, but he's really fallen into place here in Baltimore. Him and Joe obviously got something good working out with them. You know, I'm going to bring it up once again. I'd like to see more Marlon Brown on the field. Yeah, I have not seen him at all, but Owen Daniels is getting the job done, so I really can't complain. Steve Smith has looked great, and I think I sent you a Vine earlier about the attitude he had his first week, and as we're getting closer to week 4, I think that chip on his shoulder is getting a little bit bigger and bigger, because obviously that Vine that I sent you, it was him on the sideline screaming, "Wait till you see me on week 4, you think I'm too old to play." He's proven a lot of people wrong right now, which is something I absolutely love about Steve Smith. He fits in perfectly with Baltimore, but I want to see the Ravens come out with a win. Besides just for our team and for them to actually have a win, but you might remember this summer somebody from Cleveland came over to Art Modell's grave and pissed on his grave. I want to go in there and I just want to make sure that Cleveland knows that we remember that, and I want them to know that we have not forgotten about what they did to Art Modell's grave, and that still is still ticks me off that happened. So
yeah, man,
I want them to go into like the whatever they call it, the doghouse, the dog pound, whatever, and completely just rip the brownies up.
Yeah, that's right, man. And I mean, that was an unfortunate call anyway. And again, we're still fired up about that in Baltimore. It was uncalled for. It was a show of disrespect. And I think this is going to be a game. It's going to be a statement game where they're going to just, if the Ravens start off well and come out firing, I think this is going to be that statement game where they're going to be like, look, this is our first road test. It's going to be a hostile environment because, again, we're both tied. It's early in the year. The Browns are feeling good coming off the Saints game. We're feeling coming off the Pittsburgh game. With this game, I think I give the edge to the Ravens because they've had the 3-day rest. If it wasn't for that, I probably would go against my, you know, heart. Obviously, I would pick the Browns in this game, but because I think the Ravens had that 10-day rest and the Browns, again, they were still at home. But they came off a great battle. I think I'm going to pick the Ravens in a 3-point victory on this one. I'm going to go 23-20 in this game with Ravens with a slight edge, given the longevity of the rest they've had, and to get rejuvenated and ready, and the way they've been preparing and practicing. And I really hope Steve Smith continues that. And like you brought up before, it is a good point, because the Panthers come to the home next Sunday, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. His whole blood and guts thing and ice up sun. Steve Smith is just feisty, man. I love him. I love how he plays, and especially against the Steelers. It seemed like that with his play, this is 2 weeks in a row now with the Bengals and Steelers that they've gotten face mask calls against him. So I don't know if it's just something because he's one of the small, feisty receivers, and they're going low, and they're just hitting that face mask. But he's been, again, very formidable, very feisty. He's had some good runs. And the way he catches the ball, he always looks to make a play. I told the guys I go to games with, I said, see when Steve Smith catches the ball? When he gets the ball, he looks to make a play. He's juking and driving and looking to shed some blockers and get him off out of the way. And I love the guy, man. He has heart. And speaking of that, you're right, man. I'd like to see more Marlon Brown. I don't know where he's been. I don't know if he's not fitted in QBX offense, but what we were discussing on Sunday is because QBX new offense is a two tight end set that Marlon Brown isn't really utilized, or those receivers aren't utilized as often in that package. So maybe we'll see more Marlon Brown down the road, but right now we're thankful that we haven't had all the weapons on board yet. So it's more exciting to think about that we could have a more exciting offense, a more potent offense. But right now I'm a little bit satisfied so far what I've seen, but I'd like to see a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the offense, they're going to have to get the job done. They're going to have to figure out what is going to be the best way to take these Brownies down. But the defense, man, I've really got no complaints with our defense right now. As long as they bring that same determination, that same will to win like they did up against the Steelers, I think that they're going to do a great job. Even in the first game when it did not look good for the Ravens, the defense really did was one of the shining stars, I guess, of the first game at least. And as long as those guys bring their same raw guts and everything like they got to do, bring it and leave it all on the field. We need to see Dumervilleaux. We need to see Suggs. We need to see CJ Mosley. We need everybody there to make the plays. And that's what they really got to do. And I think the defense will be able to do it. I think it's going to be another hard hitting game. They know this is still in the division. This is still a division game. They know how important that is, especially with the fact that we are 1-1 in the league and in the division right now. So they know this is going to be a big one. They know that everyone was saying last week, oh, if the Ravens lose this one, the season's over. I want them to feel like that every week. I want them to feel like that this week up against the Browns. I want them to come out. I want them to be on firing on all cylinders. And if the defense can play like they did up against the Steelers, maybe be a little bit more cautious of where you're hitting somebody. But as long as they are still hard hitting and they make sure look at what they did to the Steelers. They didn't get one touchdown. That's amazing. If they can stick up that same defense, I don't see the Browns winning that game. I honestly feel like it all rests on the shoulders of the defense at this point. The offense will get the job done that they need to get done, at least getting down the field, and that means Tucker coming and getting a couple field goals, so be it. But the defense doesn't worry me at all. I feel as if they've got the tools and the know-how to get things done.
Well, they're getting another tool back. Speaking of that, Ladarius Webb practiced this week, so we were hoping to get him back, and that would be a great addition. And another tool on the belt, the arsenal for the opposing offense to be a little bit concerned about. And I like to see Webb come back, man. We were all discussing where's Webb been, but I think that he's going to get his wings under him this week and play, and that'd be great, man. And we'll have all hands on deck for that. And barring that, speaking of that too, we have no major injuries out of the first two games. There's no really big injuries that we have to concern about. I know a lot of injuries happened in the NFL this weekend, with RG3 going down again, Deshaun Jackson of the Redskins, they lost their two top targets. AJ Green actually went down for the Bengals. So there's a lot of injuries have been happening in the last 2 weeks. So you're very thankful, knock on wood, that the injury bug hasn't hit the Ravens this early in the year. And yeah, I'm really thankful for that, man. A lot of times it's hard to overcome injury, especially when a team like the Ravens, they have a star power on their team, but when one of those or two of those guys go down, there's not a lot of depth there, and that's what most concerns me. You know, there's always the next man up, but being in the secondary is already thin. That getting Webb back is a huge boost, and I really can't wait to see it. And if Suggs and Dumervil can come out firing on the edges in the defense, man, I think the Ravens are gonna get up for this. And sucks that Suggs can't wear Gladiator helmet to every game, especially away. But I don't know. I've always said this. Maybe it'll be a new tradition. And he said that he did that because the team needed a spark. And he's right, man. I don't think we needed a spark. It was Ravens Steelers on prime time with a short week. We needed to take it to them. But I've always said, if Suggs can do that every home game to provide that, and I think that would be a nice new tradition to lead us into battle, man. And it was a fun thing, fun prop to see. It was very, very got us fired up, and I don't think we need to be more fired up for the Browns coming on Sunday, because we know they're going to bring it to us, man. And we got to bring it to them, man, because it's going to be another AFC North divisional battle on Sunday at 1 o'clock, man. And I really can't wait, man. This is going to be it's going to be a long week, but we'll get there, and we're going to root them hard on Sunday, man. I don't see any concerns right now as of right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about Sunday. I'm looking forward to this game. This should be a fun one. Any kind of divisional game is always going to be a good one, even early on in the season.
And
so,
speaking of division, I have to break it to right now. I have to congratulate. I never recorded this on the night of the game, but as of right now, everybody will probably be listening to this when it's all said and done, whether the Orioles win tonight or not. But the Orioles, as of right now, we're recording the show on Tuesday night. They could win the division. Speaking of that, our other birds could win the division. Just have to get a nice shout out. They are currently winning the game 4-2 as Paredes just went yard and reporting. So it's an exciting time, Baltimore. Man, a first division title since 97. The Ravens are going for their own division title, knock off the Bengals for this year. So right now, I'm really excited, man. Coming week 3, the NFL. This is an exciting time come Baltimore, man. So I want to shout out to the Birds. If they can close it out tonight, congrats on everyone, because they got this wrapped up, man. So congrats to our Birds, AL East champions of the East. And hopefully we'll, in our own right, we'll be AFC North champions of the North come about December time. So we're going to root hard. But again, it starts first road test in Cleveland, man. It's going to be a tough one in the pound, but I think we'll come away with a win, man.
Yeah, as much as I want the O's to win tonight, and I want them to become, you know, win that big title, I want them to do it tomorrow, because I'll be at the game tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So right. I want to see them do it tomorrow night. But hey,
well, if they do, I might try to come down there.
Yeah, if they do win tonight, you know, congratulations to them. And yeah, definitely fun time to be any sort of fan in Baltimore as of this week. So good stuff there. So Josh, did we miss anything at all during the show?
In celebration of Haloti Ngata's tip pass and intercepted right to him, what an athletic play. I'm going to say not a chance, sir.
All right, that's good. So before we wrap things up, we're going to take a quick break, and here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Make sure you are social with us. Let people know on the web that you are a Ravens fan, that you listen to The Call, and they should too. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit all about The Call podcast. That'll help us get even bigger and even better than we ever have before. We want to get those numbers up as much as possible, because we give you this show completely for free.
Free.
It's a free show. Hey, it's 2014. What can you get for free anymore? You really can't get anything, man. Unless you like steal music. You don't even have to steal this from us. We're just giving it to you. So we do this show for free. You listen for free. You download it for free. So just let people know about it. Hey, tell them it's free. How cool is that? That you can just be like, hey, you want this? It's free. There you go. And you're best friends forever. So that's just how it happens. So let people know about that on the web. Go to Facebook.com/The Call Podcast and like us over there. And you can get information about this show. Also go to BrandoCash.com. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows produced by Brando Cash Entertainment. We're going to have some photos and other stuff up on the website as well. So make sure you check that out. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, send us out, not as you always do, send us out celebrating the Ravens and the Orioles this time around.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Brandon. As always, we got some flying high birds around here this time of Baltimore. And hey, it doesn't come around often, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, it never happens. And I can't remember the countless times it ever happened. But again, the Orioles have been in the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. It's going to happen this year. Congrats to our birds, our neighbors on Russell Street. as we always say, the muscle on Russell, and we can't wait to get it started. The Orioles have made the playoffs. It's going to be momentum. They're going to lock up the division. So, great. Shout out to them. But again, in our same regard, Ravens, divisional game. Ravens-Browns on Sunday. We got to also lock up a 2-1 record, and a 2-1 record in the division to keep that dream alive and to unseat the Cincinnati Bengals as current AFC North champs. And hey, who knows? Maybe we can have two division title winners in the same city with our sports. I would love to see it. I'm sure you all be fired up. I am ready for October, not only for playoff baseball, but the meat of the Ravens schedule, and we are going to be fired up as usual, and we got to take care of business on Sunday again, one game at a time. Everybody with me. 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high on Sunday and beat these Brownies.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.